Welcome to Daily Living with Father Chapin, where we consider God's Word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Yes, my friend, that is what we do. Sometimes the Bible can be a bit confusing, so we bust it down like a fraction. We're asking questions. Questions like, what do these Gospels have to do with me? That's what I want to know. How can I take these Gospels and apply them into my daily living, so that I can become a reflection of God's love to this world, a world that does not know God, and a world that definitely needs more love, don't you think? I mean, take a look around. There's a lot of bad news out there. How can I take the good news and apply it into my daily living so that I can become light in this darkness? I want to be a tool in the hand of God, making present His kingdom, not someday, but today and every day. And that is what this show is all about. And I'm so glad you could join us today. Oh, it's a special day today because today we are celebrating Pentecost. Love Pentecost. Pentecost is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, what I like to refer to as the quiet voice. And the quiet voice which is inside of you is quiet and will not compete with all the screaming voices of this world. Now, the job of the quiet voice is to lead you into your Father's will. But we get distracted by all the things around us in our world. But the quiet voice is very much like one of those GPS systems in cars. You ever used one of those? Or actually, you can use it if you have one of those smartphones. It'll tell you where to go. And it might say, well, take a right in 100 yards, and you might go left. Well, those GPS systems will reroute you to get you to your final destination. In the same way, you might make a mistake or two in this life, but the quiet voice will reroute you. It will meet you where you are at and take you to your destination, which is the will of the Father, if you are willing to listen to the quiet voice. And the quiet voice makes itself heard in many ways, often just through what others might, non-believers would call coincidence. Maybe something that somebody says that speaks to you, or maybe something that you read in a book, or maybe something you see on television. God is speaking to you constantly. Are we listening? One very powerful way that God speaks to us is through His Word, because His Word is alive, and it will meet you where you are, whatever season you might find yourself going through in this life. So that's what we're going to do now. So what do you say? We quiet our minds and get into the Word. Our gospel today, I'm picking a very short portion of a gospel that is found in John, which is one of the options for Pentecost. So my prayer for you, my prayer for me, is that God will speak to you in this gospel today. Let us open up our minds. We are going to school. Are you ready to be the student? A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood up and exclaimed, "Let anyone who thirsts come to me and drink. As Scripture says, rivers of living water will flow from within him who believes in me." The Gospel of the Lord. I know it's short, but there's a whole lot here. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. You stick around. It's going to be good. We're going to be right back, and we're going to talk all about Pentecost here as we consider God's Word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Hi, this is Father Chapin, host of Daily Living with Father Chapin. It is such a pleasure to be able to come into your home each and every week and share the good news, but it's a bit expensive. So I would ask you to consider grabbing a piece of paper and a pencil, and at the next break, I'm going to share with you some details how you can become a partner with Daily Living. And together, we can take the good news to a lost world. What do you say we get back to the show? Welcome back to Daily Living. Happy birthday to us. Happy birthday to us. Happy birthday to Christianity. Happy birthday to us. Yes, my friends, today is Pentecost, the birthday of the church. And you know, every once in a while people say, well, Father C, what's your favorite Sunday of the year? Which, you know, it's hard to say. It's kind of like picking your favorite kid. You know, of course, Christmas and Easter come to mind, but, you know, I don't know. It's hard to say. But if I had to say, if somebody placed a large and heavy object on top of me and said, we are going to hold you down and not let you up until you tell us, Father C, what is your favorite Sunday of the year, I would have to say, okay, Pentecost. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And how could it not be? Pentecost. I mean, I even love the word Pentecost. Penta, Greek for 50. Because we're 50 days removed from Easter Sunday. He is risen. Alleluia, alleluia. Today we are celebrating the gift of the Holy Spirit. A gift, by the way, that continues to be available to you today. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Blessed Trinity, the oil upon which the engine of the Trinity runs. Of course, the great church father, St. Augustine, when speaking of the Trinity, said that the Father is the sun in the sky. Jesus is the rays bringing the message to the earth. And when those rays hit the surface of the earth, they create heat. And the heat is the Holy Spirit, begging the question, do you have the heat, my friend? And that's what we're going to be talking about today, the heat. Pentecost. I love Pentecost. Happy birthday to us. But you know, one thing that makes Pentecost a little different than other Sundays throughout the year is generally the action is found in the Gospels. But with Pentecost, like I said, it's different because the action is really found in the first reading, which comes from the second chapter of Acts, which is the story of Pentecost. You ought to read it. So naturally in the past, this has kind of been where our focus is or has been. But today I want to take a slightly different angle because today the church, because it's Pentecost, it's a big deal, it provides several options for the Gospels. And I was particularly drawn to the vigil option, so which not surprisingly came from the Gospel of John. And it's a short Gospel, but it packs a lot of punch. On the last and the greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood up and exclaimed, let anyone who thirsts come to me to drink. As Scripture says, living water will flow within him who believes in me. Wow. So let's start by setting the context like we always do. Where are we? What's going on? Well, we can start by understanding that at this time, Jesus is very much a wanted man, and not in a good way. He's in Galilee, but he's on the run. He can no longer move freely around because the Jews are trying to kill him. And things have really escalated. We're approaching the great Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles, also known as Sukkot, is a fall feast during which the Jewish community would construct small huts in which all the meals were to be eaten throughout the festival. And the huts were called Sukkot. Now, the reason that these huts were constructed were to commemorate the huts that Israel used to live in during their 40 years of exile in the desert after they had escaped Egypt, which were, of course, difficult times. So when they finally arrived at the Promised Land, Succoth became associated with the fall harvest, which is all about gratitude, much like we celebrate Thanksgiving today. Families gathering around once a year around the table to celebrate all their blessings. So this is the feast that is looming. And the relatives of Jesus, in almost a mocking way, say to him, well, are you going to go up to the great feast and preach? And they pressed him because they said, nobody works in secret who wants to be known publicly. And it seems like they're goading him. It seems like the gospel writer, which would be John, is suggesting that they don't really believe in him. But Jesus responded, my hour has not yet come. That is a phrase that we will see time and time again woven through the Gospel of John. My hour has not yet come. We see it first make an appearance at the wedding of Cana, but we see it all throughout the Gospel because it is foreshadowing Calvary. So as it goes, the relatives do go to the Feast of Tabernacles, but Jesus stays behind. Of course, when they get there, everybody's looking for Jesus. He's the talk of the town, has created quite a stir among the people. John talks about the crowd murmuring. Some say that, well, he's a good man. Others say, well, he's deceiving the people. Seems like everybody's got an opinion, but the one thing that they all share in common is that they all seem to be looking for him. But no one wants to speak about him openly. Why? Because of fear. A fear that I'm afraid continues to this day that prevents many of us from wanting to talk about Jesus. You know, the whole don't bring up religion and politics thing. But back then, why were they so afraid? Well, because the religious leadership had made it very clear that they did not like Jesus. So there was a controversy around him. Even his own relatives were rejecting the notion that he was from God. Now, what his relatives did not know is that Jesus did in fact go to the Feast of Tabernacles, but he went in secret. So here we are at the climax of this great feast, the last and greatest day, and all of a sudden, Jesus pops up in the temple and starts to teach the crowds. And John says the crowds were amazed. Where did this man get all this? How did he learn this? He has no rabbinical training. He didn't go to seminary. He's no rabbi. He's the son of a carpenter. Yet Jesus says, my teaching is not my own, but from the one who sent me. So naturally they said, well, who sent you? And Jesus responded, God sent me. Oh, really? I want you to just like hit the pause button for a second and consider what he is saying. I mean, what would you think if you were sitting in a congregation and I was to step up to the podium and announce that I was sent from God? I mean, I'm thinking that would not really go over so well. I'm thinking the bishop is going to get a letter or two on this one. God sent him. I mean, he did feed 5,000 people. He did heal people. Rumors were flying all around about what he did or did not do. There were signs and wonders. But this? I'm not a rabbi. I'm not a prophet. I'm a man who's been sent by God directly. So let me tell you, there is already a whole lot of tension in the air. You could have cut it with a knife. It was just a tinder box waiting for a match. All of a sudden, Jesus steps up. And it was like a bomb going off in downtown Jerusalem, and the people went crazy. Some said he was possessed. Others said he's Messiah. The religious leaders, they wanted him gone. They wanted to arrest him, but they couldn't get to him because of the crowds. So Jesus says, let anyone who thirsts come to me and drink. As Scripture says, rivers of living water will flow from within him who believes in me. Rivers of flowing water, that's the Holy Spirit, and that is the gift that we are celebrating today, Pentecost. Jesus is referring to this as rivers of living water, and he has just announced an altar call. But you know who came? Nobody. Nobody came. Why? Well, kind of the same reason many people don't respond to Jesus today. Because he's seen by so many of us as somebody who wants to curtail our freedom. Somehow we're going to miss out on something. Somehow God's holding back. And it can all be traced back to the big lie. The big lie, which made its first appearance in the Garden of Eden, when the snake said to Eve, oh no, you certainly will not die if you eat of that fruit. God knows full well that if you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like gods, knowing the difference between good and evil. The greatest deception propagated on the human race. You don't need God. You can be your own God. The big lie. A lie that this world has bought hook, line, and sinker. And let me ask you this, my friend. If you have bought that lie, how's that working out for you? This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. You hang out. We'll be right back. And we will continue to talk about this amazing gospel here as we consider Pentecost and how we might be able to take God's word and apply it into our daily living. Hi, this is Father Chapin, host of Daily Living. If you feel like you're being fed by this ministry, I would ask you to prayerfully consider a partnership with Daily Living and what we're trying to do here. A monthly gift of any amount that you feel comfortable with, and I will send you a monthly newsletter, and if you provide an email address, a script of the show prior to its broadcast. Just write a check to Daily Living, P.O. Box 339, Nitro, West Virginia, 25143. You can also go on the website at mydailyliving.com and give through PayPal, and together we can shine the light of the good news in a whole lot of dark places. What do you say we get back to the show? Welcome back to Daily Living. Years ago, I was babysitting my niece, baby Ava. She was 4 at the time, and I've come to understand that when you're looking after young children, your number one job is to keep them from killing themselves. After that, it's all game. So that's what I was doing. Meanwhile, the number one job of a 4-year-old is utter destruction. So naturally, baby Ava had made quite a mess of things and had toys strewn out all over the floor. Her mother was coming home soon, so I said, "Baby Ava, you better pick up these toys before your mama gets home. Because if she walks in here right now, I don't think she's going to be very happy when she sees all these toys on the floor." And I'll never forget this. She stands up. She puts her hands on her little hips and she looks at me and she says, "You're not the boss of me." So I have a question. Where did she get that? I mean, she's 4. Did she learn that? No. She doesn't have to learn it. Why? Because it's in us. You're not the boss of me. We all got that. It's called concupiscence. We are at war between the flesh and the spirit. And the flesh wants what it wants, when it wants it, and as much of it as it wants it. We have a natural tendency within us all to rebel. I have a friend who has a young daughter, and he took her to her older brother's basketball game. And so as they're sitting in the stands, of course, the little girl doesn't want to just sit there because, you know, how kids are. She wants to run around because that's what children want to do. So she says, "Daddy, can I run around?" And my friend points to the basketball court and he says, "You can go anywhere you want in this gym, but you cannot go inside that rectangle as he's pointing to the court. So off she goes. And she wanders over to the concession stand for a while, and then next thing you know, she's under the bleachers for a while. But you know, in time, she began inching up closer and closer to the court. Finally, she got right up to the line, and looking up at her father in the stands, she took that little foot, tapped her little toe just inside, and then pulled her leg back. Why? Because you're not the boss of me. Like I said, it's in our nature to rebel. It's called concupiscence. It is woven into our DNA. We want to protect our freedom at any cost. We call this free will. And this free will is Satan's playground. Satan was very effective in manipulating Adam and Eve's free will, and he continues to be very effective to this day. He continues to convince this world that somehow God is holding out on us. Somehow God is trying to limit our freedom. Somehow God is trying to limit our free will. And you don't want to follow God because you're going to have to give up something. Meanwhile, God's looking down like a babysitter trying to keep us from killing ourselves. But this is why nobody responded to the offer Jesus is making in our gospel today. And dare I say, it continues to be the reason why many of us continue to reject God. The big lie. There's all kinds of variations on the big lie. But the main theme, the main thread that weaves through the big lie is that God's holding out on me. And I don't want what he wants, because if I do, then I'm going to be missing something. I want to be free. I want to make my own decisions. I don't need God because I can be my own God. And look at where this has brought us today. Who's right? Who's wrong? Right to life, pro-choice, conservative, liberal, global warming, junk science, fake news. Our world has lost its mind feasting on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But one thing we can all agree upon is, don't mess with my freedom. Don't tread on me, brother. Don't limit my free will. Don't be holding back on me. Don't tell me what to do. You're not the boss of me. I want to have fun. I want to be free. So again, let me ask you, how's that working out for you? Are you having fun yet? Where has your freedom brought you today? Has it ever satisfied your thirst? Or has it taken you to a faraway land? Remember the prodigal son. He certainly bought into the big lie. Thought his father was holding out on him. I don't want to follow your rules. Give me my inheritance now. And we all know how that worked out. So he came up with a plan to return to his father and live like a slave, because somehow being a slave was better than his free will. All of a sudden, his free will didn't seem so free anymore. Now, as you might recall, as he approached the house, his father saw him because he was looking out for him, and he came running. And what did he say? Well, let's start with what he didn't say. He didn't say, well, okay, son, if you want to move back into the house, you're going to have to follow the rules around here. No, he didn't say that. He didn't say, well, if you bow down and beg for mercy, I might forgive you, but I'm going to keep an eye on you. No, he didn't say that at all. No, he takes his own robe off, throws it around his son, puts a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, and kisses his neck with great joy. Does that sound like slavery to you? Now, remember the older brother? Remember him? I mean, nobody talks about the older brother. But actually, the older brother is key. He's the object of the story, because the older brother represents the religious leadership who Jesus is talking to. And he got all upset. Why? Because daddy's throwing a party for the younger brother. All these years I've been following your rules, and you never gave me even a kid goat to feast on with my friends. In other words, where's my party? In other words, you holding out on me, Dad. So let me ask you a question, my friend. Who is the slave in this story and who is free? What about you? Are you thirsty today? Jesus says, any one of you who thirsts, come to me and drink, and living water will flow within you who believe in me. Like I said, that living water is Spirit. That Spirit is poured out today in Pentecost, and it continues to be offered to you today. It will lead you to the greatest freedom on this side of life that you will ever know. The Spirit, the Advocate, the Quiet Voice, the Living Water. It's Jesus. And He will bring you a peace that this world cannot give. So, my friend, what about you? Has your desire to be free and live in habitual sin taken you to a faraway and distant land? Would you like to come home? Jesus is offering you living water today, a Spirit that will guide you and give you peace beyond your understanding as you follow the will of your Father. Like I said, it's available to you right here, right now. The only question is, will you receive it? Or will you continue to buy into the big lie? It's your choice. Your Heavenly Father awaits on the porch, and He has got an eye out for you. And He's not waiting to meet you halfway. He's just waiting for you to make a move. Won't you make your move today? Let us rise and go to our Father. You know, every day in this country, somebody does something nice for somebody else. Today, why don't you let that somebody be you? Because the best vitamin for a Christian is be one. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin, swinging the bat of truth. Hope you can come back next week and we'll do it again. Until then, I hope you let God live in your life, and I bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.